Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Tip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Hello, how you doing today? I hope I find you feeling healthy on this Thursday, February 17th. You're listening to the Crossover Cafe, brought to you by PHI Apparel Company. This is Dave here with Barry and you, but only if you call us at 929-477-2759, 929-477-2759. And before I get started, I just want to remind you that the Crossover Cafe is brought to you by the PHI Apparel Company. And PHI Apparel provides unique designs and high-quality clothing for the great fans of Philly. With their original designs for all, there's no doubt you'll stand out in the crowd. Listeners can use the promo code CHEFS, that's C-H-E-F-S, for 15% off any apparel when you shop online at phiapparel.co. Again, phiapparel.co. Again, promo code is CHEFS. And, man, I've been on there. They've got some cool stuff. I'm really curious to see what they do with their new guy, James Harden, if he ever ends up taking the court. For the Sixers and the other team on that side of that trade, the Brooklyn Nets had quite an evening last night, which we'll talk to. Another thing that we saw over the last real week, and if not more, is DeMar DeRozan. I want to take a chat about DeMar DeRozan. And I think, speaking of things that have fallen, like Wolf Streak, Anthony Davis has fallen just before the All-Star weekend, which to me, I don't know, Barry, you got your home run derby, which was fantastic last year. You've got the Pro Bowl, which is pretty much, honestly, worse than curling. And you know what? Probably more hitting than curling, I'll be honest with you. Just a quick tie into the Olympics. And of all the All-Star games, though, I mean, I think the NHL's got a really good one. Not quite polished yet, but it's a good one. But the NBA All-Star weekend, I think, is just the most fun. And maybe it's because it's such a star-driven league. But listen, we'll get all to that and more. But first, it is time to say hey to my good friend Barry. Barry, how you doing?
Villain, that's the longest intro I've ever heard in my life. 3 minutes of nonstop day chats. I don't know how much Dave people can take. good to hear you doing a lot better. Glad to be on the show, talk some NBA, some hoops. You know, had Seth pinch hitting for me last time. Shout out to the homie Seth. The All-Star break's here, and I was saying it last night on the College Cookout. I think Knicks fans need as much of a break from the Knicks as the Knicks need a break from basketball. Like, we just need a break. We need a breather. Enough's enough.
Especially, I feel bad for those Knicks fans who kind of cross over with the Mets and, Jets fans in there too. It's been ugly for New York sports, really. And I know, you know, I often look at sports from a New York, Philly, Boston, kind of throwing Washington, D.C. in there. And, you know, Nationals have their championship. Eagles won a Super Bowl. I mean, you know, the Giants had theirs. That was a while ago now. And then Boston, I mean, who knows what's up in the water up in Boston. So, I don't even count them, really. But It's been bleak, man, for the city of New York. And it's weird, Barry. I think, I mean, if you go, you know, I was going to pick a random city in Europe. Let's go with London, right? If you go to London and you say, hey, what's the team that plays basketball in New York? Even with the recent success of the Nets, I think the answer is going to be the Knicks, right? I mean, am I wrong? The Knicks, it's still, even with the Yankees' success the last 20, 60 years, whatever, still feels like a Knicks town, right?
Yeah, of course. It is a Knicks town. I mean, even with everything going on with, you know, Ben Simmons and the Nets, I mean, honestly, it's all about the Knicks and how brutal they've been. So, yeah, it's always going to be a Knicks town.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Even, you know, after the game last night, Durant posted a tweet that said, boy, it sounded real, you know, real loud in the Barclays. And they said, oh, like referring to that the game was at MSG, but it sounded like a Nets home game, which, you know, listen, KD, I love it. As a Nets fan, hype up the franchise. I mean, we need it. It's not like every single Nets fan I've spoken to in the last, you know, 2-3 years couldn't probably name anybody on the team older than 2 or 3 years. So it is nice to get that franchise recognition. But we're not the Knicks. And listen, I hate to do this to you, Barry, because I know you said before the show you don't want to talk about it, but here I am going to put you on the spot. I think, I mean, I said this before, and I was out last week with COVID, so I didn't have a chance to bring it up, and it only just seems more and more glaring. But, man, I really just think Tibbs is not the right coach for this specific roster. I mean, you know, it's frustrating, but I almost wonder, I mean, do you just throw a nuke in the whole thing and say, let's start over? It's got to be impossible as a Knicks fan to even hear that.
Listen, I've been listening and watching TV and on Twitter and stuff, and, you know, I follow Knicks Central, good guy Alex out there has a podcast, and all these guys want Tibbs fired. I'm like, this guy was the coach of the year last year. It's not Tibbs. It's management and it's the roster that's constructed. This roster is ill-constructed. Excuse me. I mean, you're talking about Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, who have on and off games. They don't play as much defense, so you gave up defense to get more scoring. But they don't fit with Randle, because Randle just wants to hold the ball and pound it into the ground. These are set guys that, you know, come off their screens or what have you. So it's all about the fit, and these guys don't fit together. Tibbs isn't a bad coach. I mean, he's not the one blowing leads. Yeah, maybe he can play other guys, but you play the young guys, they'll blow the lead too. I mean, what do we want? We think Obi Toppin's the answer? The guy, you know, barely can shoot the three. He's energy. He gets to the basket. But, I mean, I hear guys complaining that, you know, pundits on Fox News or Fox Sports, whatever, Fox Sports 1, that we're talking about Taj Gibson getting more minutes than Cam Reddish and Obi Toppin. Like that's the answer. Like, give those guys more minutes. We would have won last night. It's ridiculous. Like, these guys don't know what they're talking about. Like, listen, this Knicks team is over. It's done. They overachieved last year. They are where they should be this year with a young roster trying to build it up. You know, it just happened in reverse, I think. You know what I mean? So I think the roster is the problem. They didn't want Cam Reddish when they traded for him. At least Tibbs didn't. But I like Cam Reddish. But hey, listen, at the end of the day, it's just not a roster that's built well. They need to, I was dying for them to trade Kemba, Evan Fournier, and Randle and Alex Burks, but they didn't do it. They gotta trade Randle. He's not a leader. He's a guy trying to be a leader because he's the highest paid, and he's clearly not a leader, slapping laptops and standoffish and huddles and stuff. It thumbs down. It's ridiculous. So listen, this Knicks team, every week you think it can get lower, Dave, it gets even more lower. I mean, we're talking about, what, last 10 days they've blown 3 20-point leads and then a big lead in the fourth quarter to the Trailblazers. I mean, blown a big lead to the Lakers, blown a big lead to the Nets last night, to the Thunder. I mean, it's a joke. It's pathetic. This is the lowest point of the season. And it's odd because I thought there were a lot of low points. It's just like, hold my beer. You think this is a, hold my beer? I got another low point for you. It's crazy, dude.
Unfortunately, I want to say I can't imagine, and I'm just going to go back to what I always do say. I understand pain as a Jets fan, although I do, I wanted to start the show by talking about it being a New York Knicks town. And just the identity of the team feels like it's bringing so many people down. But one thing, I mean, you keep harping on is the roster makeup. And I don't, I think for once I honestly don't want to blame Dolan on this. You know, the owner of the Knicks was pretty frequently burned for meddling. You know what I mean? And
right.
Who is it? Stephen Mills is really the guy making the most roster decisions at this point, right?
No, I mean it's really Leon Rose, and that's another problem.
Is it Rose?
Yeah, you got West, Worldwide West, who's the image consultant kind of guy.
Leon Rose
is the president of operations. You know what I'm saying? The problem is, you got an owner that nobody likes. We still don't like you. Even when we're winning, we don't like you. And you got the president of basketball operation that's gone dark, hasn't said a word before the trade line, at the trade line, at the trade deadline. Nothing. He said nothing. He's not accountable. Where are you hiding? What? You're not saying anything. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. It's just a lack of leadership that we can't tolerate. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what else to tell you. Like, you're the president of basketball operations. We can't hear from you. We don't know what's going on. Say something. We don't care. Say something.
So,
we didn't hear a thing at the trade deadline from him. The team didn't do anything. It's garbage. It's absolute garbage.
Yeah, no, I having been a fan of many bad teams over years, I think what's more frustrating than anything is silence. You know what I mean? Just show some signs of life, even if it's, dying screams. But it seems like they're just leaving Tibbs and a poorly constructed roster out there to just fend for themselves. And we all saw it last night with that huge comeback by the Nets, 18-point in the fourth quarter comeback. It's frustrating, and I get it. I won't make you talk about it anymore. Just one thing that I do look at, and I love mock drafts. That's one of my absolute favorite things. Every single mock draft I've looked at have the Knicks grabbing a point guard, and their pick right now would fall somewhere in that 7 to 11, probably 9, Tankathon, my favorite website, has the Knicks coming in with the 9th pick right now and taking this kid Ty Washington. The Knicks just need a floor general. And it feels too cliche in a way, you know what I mean? But you look at all the teams right now, and every single
good
team.
But you know what the problem is with getting a floor general? I hate to cut you off, but it's like, you still have a guy in Julius Randle that needs the ball in his hand all the time. That's the problem. You can get a point guard. You had Derrick Rose, right? When he comes back and healthy, the Knicks play much better. The record shows it, right? But you got a point forward that needs the ball in his hand, and it's sloppy right now. It's not helping the team. Like, the funniest tweet I saw today out of all the tweets I saw was that a Knicks fan said, the Knicks should have drafted Tyrese Halliburton last year, and somebody said, well, Tibbs would still not start him. He still would have him on the bench not playing. You know what I mean? Like, I would love Halliburton here, Dave, but Julius Randle just dominates the ball, and he's not as efficient as he was last year. So it's frustrating, dude. It's frustrating.
Man, I can't help but think every part of the roster is constructed wrong. And sports is a blame game. I'm trying to see what's the cause. And it seems like the people who are the cause for it are just not there. So it's hard to, it isn't hard to blame somebody who's so darn quiet. But, I think a lot about roster in any sport. And I look at a team that's another team that's just not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that would be none other than the Lakers. And we spent a lot of time over the last weeks, months, talking about how Russell Westbrook, like, honestly, we're not even talking about Russell Westbrook on the court as a contributor. We're almost laughing at him. He's become a punchline, and it's you know, you're looking at AD, who's going to be out about 2 weeks with that ugly-looking ankle injury, and quite frankly, they're lucky it's only 2 weeks with the way it looks.
Yeah.
And you look at where they sit in the Western Conference, now 4 games below 500, and they're just a tick over Portland for the last spot in the play-in. But first of all, imagine if that Lakers team doesn't even make it into the playoff tournament. I don't think LeBron would let that happen. I don't think he can lead them to much more. But here's my question. My biggest question about the Lakers is, are they relevant anymore? I mean, they're always going to be relevant the same way. Even if the Yankees have a bad season, people are still going to talk about it. Even right now, we're talking about the Knicks a lot. They're not doing anything important. But, I mean, from an on-the-court perspective, do the Lakers scare you? Should the Lakers, if they come in at, or if they come out of that play-in tournament facing, you know, a top seed, should one of those top seeds be like, oh, thank goodness we got the Lakers? Or is it, oh, gosh, you know, who could these guys be in the playoffs? I mean, they don't scare me at all anymore.
Anything with LeBron should worry you for a one-game playoff, right, for a play-in game.
Right.
But through a series,
I don't
think that's possible. I would be very surprised if they made it out of the first round, if they made it past the play-in game. They don't scare anybody. I mean, AD just can't stay on the court. The best ability is availability, and he's not around. You're talking about people talking about trading this guy away because nobody's going to take Russell Westbrook because you know he's opting into his $40-plus million deal next year. Nobody wants that smoke. You'd have to wait another year to try to move that expiring contract and buy him out, right? Anthony Davis, he's supposed to be the cornerstone of your team, and you can't get him on the court. I know LeBron's like, I didn't sign up for this, man. I'm 30-something years old, man. I needed somebody to come in and be the man and I can just, you know, play my role. And he can't get that from this guy. Lakers are not relevant. They're always going to be relevant because they're the Lakers and they should be better. So you're always going to talk about them. But they're not a threat for anything right now. They're barely a threat in the play-in game. I mean, that's the sad truth, that this team is barely good enough to get into a play-in.
Now, is there anybody, would you say in a similar fashion that the Nets kind of are like the Lakers of the East, or do you give the Nets more of a chance in maybe a play-in game? And do you think the Nets are even going to get out of that play-in game?
I mean, the Nets have a better chance. They have a better prospect because their pieces fit together, right? I think now with Kyrie, Durant when he gets healthy, and then Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is a good three that can, you know, doesn't need the ball in his hand. He can play it in the fast break, but he doesn't need to score. He can defend all positions. There's not a player in this league he can't defend at 6'10". I think the mandate for Kyrie is going to get lifted pretty soon, right? So even though, you know, Adam Silver said it finally, I mean, it took him a while to say it, but, you know, the mandate in New York City isn't fair. So I think the restrictions will probably be lifted pretty soon. Durant will be back healthy. I think the morale in the locker room is a lot better now that James Harden is gone. I think James Harden was killing that locker room's morale, and it just wasn't a pleasant locker room to be in. And now it's all, you know, orange and blue skies like New York. It's just all bright sunny days and something like that. You know what I mean? So I think the Nets are over 500. I think they'll get to be a little bit higher than that. I don't think they'll be a play-in team by the time the season's over. Their prospects are much better. And in a playoff series, I trust them way more than I would trust the Lakers at this point because they got some good pieces, right? I think if Andre Drummond can get into shape, he's clearly not in shape, but he can play around the rim. Seth Curry is another shooter, insurance at the point guard position, but another shooter that you could add with Patty Mills. I think the young kids, Cam Thompson and company, you know, Cam Lizard from LSU, terrific young player. So I think their outlook is a lot better with Blake and Alders coming off the bench. They're a much better outlook than the Lakers right now.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really have a chance to dive into it last week, and maybe this is a little bit of revisionist, you know, history, or not, maybe not revisionist history, just I get to speak with the with hindsight, but I'm a little surprised. I didn't think Harden was that big of a locker room issue, I will say. You know, I really thought that it was Kyrie handling the situation he was that was making Harden not want to perform. I'm not in the locker room. I don't know. But as soon as Harden was out, you started to see reports that Harden was not on board with his role in the team. And, I mean, Harden's so talented, but it is true. I mean, we've seen, you know, his last two big newsworthy things, events, I guess, were asking out of Houston and asking out of Brooklyn. And it makes me wonder, what has Philly kind of gotten themselves into? I mean, you know, as a fan of basketball talent, I'm, you know, going to root for him to do well. I don't root for anybody to do poorly. I mean, even if it's against my team, I turn on the TV to watch greatness, not blowouts. But I do think that the Nets have kind of robbed Peter to pay Paul. And in a sense, the problem is they've robbed themselves. You know, that trio, you know, the Harden trio with Durant and Kyrie. But they gave up a guy who wasn't particularly on board with anything, just like the Sixers, and they turned that troubled roster spot into something that can perform. Now, we haven't really seen Simmons do much with the Nets, but it's funny. I see on their social media, they are really hyping up the Ben Simmons being a net kind of machine, already more than the Sixers. I think the Sixers entered this whole season and took this whole season with a, oh, that's right, Ben Simmons, he's on the team, right? Yeah, that's kind of like the attitude that they had, almost like they forgot he was there. They pretended that he wasn't there. I think in a lot of ways, you brought up a couple names there that came over in the trade in Drummond and Steph Curry that, I mean, last week when I phoned in and talked to you, you kind of said, I don't want to talk about Seth Curry or Andre Drummond. I want to focus on the core of the trade, which is you know, Simmons and Harden and those picks, which I think sure. Those picks will come into play at some other point. But I think, the Nets did the most important thing, and they balanced the roster. And on both ends, I mean, really, you could just ask Ben Simmons to just stay on the defensive side of the court. I mean, you know, maybe come up to the come up halfway and you know, swing the ball around if we need you to, because he is, you know, he's got a good eye for the game. He just doesn't take shots ever, but they don't need him to. And you still have, like you said, I think Seth Curry takes the pressure off of whoever the third guy is after Durant and Kyrie. And that's a big deal, because you didn't want Simmons to be your third option in a team like this, because you can still put a lot of pressure if you're the defense, whoever you're playing. Say you're playing Milwaukee, right? I think Milwaukee is – I still – you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about teams in the East. We barely touch on Milwaukee. I really think no matter what, they're coming out. I really think Milwaukee's going to come out of the East. I think they've done a great thing. But if you put the Nets roster, you know, head-to-head against Milwaukee's, you know, you can lock down – you could theoretically lock down Durant and Kyrie and then still need kind of a third option. And whatever that third option is, you leave them open. Seth Curry can be a really good spot – can really hurt you outside. And then you have Aldridge and, like you said, Griffin, who can hurt you inside, along with Drummond, you know, again, on the defensive end. It's just, I'm very excited about the Nets now, because they've got that balance. And that's a scary thing for most teams. The one wild card is Joe Harris. And I don't think Joe Harris, I don't know if he's coming back or not, but Joe Harris is one of the best three-point shooters in the game, period, the end. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. He can just shoot the ball. And if you're able to stretch the court and then kind of have Ben Simmons just be your defender, I think it's a perfectly built roster. Can Steve Nash coach it? I don't know. But I don't know. What do you think? I mean, do you think I'm crazy with finally being excited as a Nets fan for the way this team is built?
No, I think it's built better. Like I said, I think it was constructed a lot better now with Ben Simmons. It puts people in better roles. I think Harden, you know, while I think that big three would have worked, I think, you know, now you got better defensively, which was a big deficiency for them. I think Drummond does give them an anchor in the middle that they've been lacking. You know, they've had to lean on Aldridge, especially with the injury. I think that there was an injury to one of your big guys, so I can't remember his name, but it just puts people in better positions and better roles. You know, I think once Kyrie is able to play full time and Durant gets back to scoring, I think you got guys that have gotten a lot of experience scoring and carrying a load that is going to help them in the long run. I think getting Joe Harris back, it puts people in a better role, but even still, if he doesn't come back, you got guys that have a lot of experience and they've gotten their feet wet in the NBA. So now, do I think they can hang with the top tier teams when all healthy? Absolutely. I think they can probably beat a Milwaukee team that, you know, with, you know, Harden on one leg, no Kyrie Irving, and Durant with a Herculean effort was one toe away from moving on. So I think they can beat Milwaukee. I like Chicago. I think, you know, if they get LaVine back, I think Chicago's dangerous. I think, yeah, you know, DeMar DeRozan is an MVP candidate. But, you know, I'm looking at the Heat. They're dogs. They're defensive beasts. They got shooters. They got toughness. So I think those are the teams you got to look out for. But the Nets can play with them in a 7-game series and they're completely healthy. It's just, I think now Durant doesn't have to guard the best player. I think you got, you know, Ben Simmons that can do that and on a nightly basis and guard anybody. And it just puts everybody in a better way that they don't have to guard the best player. It is a better fit. And I think Philadelphia got better too. I think this trade of trading two disgruntled guys, like I said last night, just both teams got better. Now it remains to be seen. I think last night on the call of cookout, we killed James Harden. We gave him, you know, we gave him his just due because, like I said, I have to be fair. If I killed Westbrook for having the talent around him and not winning, I got to say the same about Harden. And, you know, he forced his way out of two situations and whined about it and pouted about it and, you know, quit on those teams. So, but at the end of the day, that 1-2 punch is as good as anybody with Embiid and Harden. So both teams got better.
Yeah, I think it was Adam Silver who said he hates that it had to happen that way. Which I understand, but, you know, selfishly as a fan of one of the teams, you solved one of the biggest problems. I was getting really sick of hearing about that locker room, and it almost felt like Harden was doing a better tank job than Brian Flores down in Miami for the Dolphins. I mean, it was like everything he did to lose was costing them wins. So it'll be really interesting to see how that shakes out. Now, I just want to take a quick moment as we hit the halfway point to remind everybody that the Crossover Cafe is brought to you by PHI Apparel Company. PHI Apparel provides unique designs and high-quality clothing for the great fans of Philly. With their original designs for all, there's no doubt you'll stand out in the crowd, and listeners can use our promo code CHEFS for 15% off any apparel when you shop online at phiapparel.co. That's phiapparel.co, not .com, .co. Barry, I think speaking of the halfway point, like we hit the halfway point of our show, we're starting to hit the halfway point of the season. Not, you know, officially, but you know how it is. You're at All-Star Weekend. I don't know about you, man. I love All-Star Weekend. I think it's one of the best showcases basketball has a huge advantage over football in that, you know, football players are always wearing the helmets, right? So you don't necessarily always see the faces. You look at baseball, right? Mike Trout's the most Nate and I on the baseball buffet talked about this ad nauseum. You know, Mike Trout's the most talented baseball player maybe in the sport right now. Nobody can point to his face on a poster. And then, you know, hockey. So basketball is truly showcasing their stars, and the stars can do something in basketball that you can't in other sports and kind of play their game, right? You can actually have a situation where, you know, the guys are kind of screwing around for three quarters like they always do, and then just actually have some true one-on-one, and you'll see it. If you watch it closely, it is awesome. You'll see, you know, one-on-one matchups, and the other, you know, four guys aside and step back and say, let's just watch this, you know? It's the most watchable. And then you've also got, you know, the skills, which I think, again, the skills competition for basketball is as fun as anything. And then, of course, my favorite, the dunk contest. I don't care what anybody says. Watching those guys do what they do with the creativity and the hops, nothing like it. But, hey, real quick, Barry, before I want to get your thoughts on what you're most excited for All-Star Weekend. And then I see we've got a caller. I don't know, but it's from the 703. So let's see who this guy is.
Oh, I know who's that guy is, my arch nemesis.
Who's that caller from 703?
You know.
Listen here. If you ever forget my extension one more again, so help me God, I'm coming to where you at.
Oh, the guy that calls
have,
Michael Matt? The guy calls Mike Harvey Matt? He still calls him that. I mean, give me a break, you know, 703. Get lost.
Yeah, villain. Nobody's talking to you right now, sir. Shut your face before I punch you in the head and you blow a 28-point lead. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
you get Cam Thomas to come see you again. I will go get Cam Thomas right now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
well, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about, Sports City family. Sirius isn't a bully. He's a punk. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't come back to him. I can't come back on him about his team because nobody, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound? If the Rockets play a game, does anybody know that they actually play the game? Because nobody's paying attention to the Rockets.
I know.
They stink.
Right? I know.
So,
how do you want to tell somebody they stink and the Knicks stink? I'm saying, you can't.
I already said they stink. If you were here early, if you were here on time, you would know that I said that the Knicks stink. But clearly, you're just waiting to throw in 28-point lead in my face. Because you're a fake villain. You're a pretender to the throne. You want to be the villain so bad. I'm going to come and show my nephew Malik how a real villain should act.
We already knew that. So I don't understand why, Mr. Villain, you're trying to come for me when I already told you from the rip. Both squads are some trash. The only difference is we got Knicks fans, football fans talking about orange and blue skies. We got Knicks fans that sit there and talk about, oh, we're going to be different, this, that, and the third, because Tibbs is here, or you go out and get Julius Randle, this, that, and the third. Y'all are some pitiful imposters. Y'all think y'all going to be decent, and then when it actually turns out that you guys are some trash, you want to wave your white flag like, you know what, we really suck. No, I told you guys suck 2 years ago. I told the Knicks are trash 3 years ago, but no, I got to listen to y'all motherfuckers on here talking about orange and blue skies. You know what? Cam Thomas in your head.
I don't know any Knicks fan that has been saying, you know, it's orange and blue skies, and you know, right now. I don't know any Knicks fan that's saying that.
Right now.
I think Sirius is just Sirius is delusional. He's making it up. Uncle Villain's coming with the real, and I'm going to make sure everything's all right. I'm going to take care. Uncle Villain's coming. Get the receipt.
I don't know, man.
But seriously, Dave had a question about the All-Star Weekend. I got to answer it because I just have to answer it. I hate the All-Star Game. It's a joke. I love All-Star Weekend. I love the dunk contest. I like the skills. I love the three-point shooting. But the games are a joke. I got to be honest. It's you know, until the fourth quarter, you know, they try to figure out ways to make it competitive, but it's really just alley-oops and one-on-one and, you know, you might like it. I absolutely hate it. It's not real basketball. I grew up watching Magic Johnson hit a three in his boy Isaiah Thomas's face to win it in Orlando. I watched, you know, Michael Jordan go crazy in the Garden and Kobe go at Jordan because he was that guy. I watched, you know, I'm used to watching competitive games. Like they played defense, they played hard. These guys don't want to get hurt. They just want to show off their new sneakers. It's a different game. It's a different mentality. So, listen, the weekend is entertaining. I think the Saturday is the most entertaining part. I haven't really watched an All-Star game in years because it's not competitive. I hate the fake competition. Oh, money or what? Give me a break. But yeah, All-Star Weekend as a whole is fun. And, you know, I try to keep the little villain up as much as I can for the dunk contest, but it happens so late and they're tired, you know, so they don't really get to watch it. But, you know, the dunk contest has been entertaining last few years. Not really sure, but I don't remember who won it last year. I just know Obi Toppin didn't win it. I think because COVID happened last year, it was kind of tough, right? Because of COVID.
Yeah, everything
didn't have a crowd there. Yeah, everything was like the same day, I think, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
It was like during the half. Yeah, so it was just tough. But so hopefully we'll get back to normal this year. But yeah, listen, All-Star games are, you know, Baseball Classic is the only one I could sort of tolerate, and I haven't watched that one in years either. The Pro Bowl was a joke. Hockey, I'm just not a hockey guy, so yeah.
All right, Simmons, let's bring some positivity into this, maybe even at Barry's expense. But, Simmons, I mean, what do you like about All-Star Weekend? Is there, you know, Barry's just talking about letting the little villain kind of learn and see some of the stars. But what about you? I mean, you got anything that you look out for?
I love it all, to be painfully honest with you. I love everything from the skills competition. You know, as a guard myself, it's kind of funny watching the big guys go in there and do that sort of stuff. I think Sabonis won a couple years, and, you know, Bosch has won it a couple of times when he was playing. So it's funny to see the big guys go in there and, you know, handle that competition. So I love that. I love the three-point shootout because sometimes a no-namer that you wouldn't expect to win comes out and wins. You know, everybody thinks, you know, Steph is going to win it every year, but, you know, he hasn't won it, you know, and sometimes, so I'm not even sure who's competing in it this year, but I love the three-point shootout. So I'm sick of the dunk contest, to be honest with you, because for me, you know, it's like, how many more different ways can you dunk a basketball? Like, and after the first pass, it just starts getting ridiculous. Like, if you're quick or your thing doesn't work, I mean, the cat's out the bag, we know what you're going to do now, and then all of a sudden you're scrambling. So I can go without the dunk contest or something like that, but ultimately I love it all. I love the All-Star game, of everything from the introduction to the players to, you know, the starting lineups and seeing what combos run together and, you know, who does what against who. And, you know, obviously the intramural between, you know, let's see if, you know, a player go against each other, or I would have loved to have seen, you know, what would happen if, you know, James Harden went against KD or something like that. And, you know, there is a mystery and a mystique, if you will, about the NBA All-Star game. I remember a while back when KD and Russell Westbrook had their little beef or whatnot. They were on, I think they were on the same team, and, you know, they made a big to-do about it, and they were standoffish, and then all of a sudden they came together and was, you know, congratulations. I mean, it's fun. You know, it's entertaining. You know what I'm saying? It's better than the Pro Bowl. I do think that I think the MLB has it right with how they do it. You know, making it be for a home court advantage, and, you know, it's very difficult to muck up, if you will, baseball. Like, there's no 360 dunks, and there's no, you know, craziness going on in baseball. It's baseball, so I think the MLB has it right, but as far as what I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to it all, man. You know, LeBron versus KD, you know, Giannis and LeBron on the same team with Steph. I mean, that's just poetry in motion. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many times is Steph going to pull from half court? You know, they instituted a four-point play shot, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's fun. You know, the points are up there. It's something for the fans. It's something to get your oohs and ahs and, you know, kind of bring the brothers together. You know what I'm saying? These guys travel all year round, and, you know, sometimes when you're in a city versus an opponent, it's game time. It's business. You don't get to laugh and carry on. And, you know, you got interviews with, you know, with fans and interviews with different personnel. And, you know, it's kind of a unplugged, up close, and, you know, kind of gets what you get with your favorite fan and gets with your favorite player. So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you use one word a lot that I think sums it up, and that's fun, right? It's fun. Barry, I know you don't like the game themselves, the game itself, because it's not a competitive, like, hey, my team can beat your team type of situation. And I've just kind of come to accept that. Never really going to happen, at least as it's constituted now. So I can't get worked up over my group of five is going to beat your group of five, like two groups meeting up at the plate at the the yard or something like that. You know, they don't have pride in Team LeBron or Team Durant or anything like that. And why should they? I mean, you know, once the game's over, it is what it is. They all go their regular ways, but I think it does give you that opportunity for the for those one-on-ones. I mean, just think about it. I mean, you could have LeBron James, like Simmons just said, you'd have LeBron James facing, you know, Durant, you know, head-to-head or something like former teammates or a Chris Paul. You just go down the roster. And I'm not going to go through every iteration of a matchup, but I just think it's really intriguing how it could go. I'm actually curious what team – if Harden hypothetically was a part of the Eastern, was voted in as an Eastern All-Star, what would happen? Would he end up on the West? I don't know.
They draft his own team, LeBron.
Oh, duh, that's right.
But he's not even going to play because he's got that hamstring injury.
Hamstring.
It's like Paul Pierce getting out of the wheelchair.
Anything is possible.
I will say, I mean, yes, the game itself isn't competitive like that, but I love it for those one-on-one matchups. And Barry, I just real quick, quick side note is you ranted a few weeks ago about the Pro Bowl, right? And how that was just the dumbest joke ever. I agree. I think that's something like you can't get that you do get in the NBA All-Star game are those matchups, but you can't do that in football. I mean, unless they basically said, let's get rid of the lines and let's just let, Joe Burrow heave it to Ja'Marr Chase getting covered by, you know, that corner from, the Cowboys, Diggs, or something like that. You know, unless you get to use some type of one-on-one situations like that, how are you going to do, T.J. Watt versus the best offensive lineman, unless you're doing, like, those Madden drills from, Madden 04 or whatever it was. Please bring those back if anybody out there is listening. Those are so much fun. But
want to do something in the Pro Bowl, bring back the quarterback club, right? Remember the quarterback club? Like, you used to have the competitions and all that stuff. So do that. Because the Pro Bowl was a joke. It still is. You can't even do one-on-ones with corners and receivers because they won't run hard. They do a cut and they might pull, do something and tear an ACL. They're not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. It's not competitive. Basketball is different because everybody can get on the court and play.
I think, honestly, just make it flag football. Make it flag football.
Yeah,
put the flag on them, play it, like flag football. That way, it's somewhat of a interesting thing. Like if a running back can outshoot somebody or whatever the case may be, and, not get a flag pulled, then the running back does the same. But the way the Pro Bowl is now, I know this is a basketball show, but the way the Pro Bowl is now is you can't watch it. You can't watch it. So.
Yeah.
I do like the basketball does.
Yeah, no, and to bring it, like you said, bring it back to the basketball aspect. This isn't a conversation we need to have with the NBA, and I think that's a fantastic thing. And just in part, the way the sport lends itself to what they put on. Now, speaking of the All-Star game, I want to take a quick moment to what feels like my weekly DeMar DeRozan appreciation moment of the week. Have you guys been paying attention to what this dude has been doing? I mean, he's on a crazy scoring streak right now. He's the first player to score 35 points while shooting over 50% from the field. He's done it now in seven straight games. Now, in some ways, it feels like one of those, okay, here's ESPN grasping at straws for a streak. But I think it really shows how He's not just consistent. He's not just reliable. But he's showing that Chicago isn't to be trifled with, and they can last in a whole series. And that's what's really important, especially with an injured team. I mean, you know, that's really what they are. You've got Caruso and you've got Levine, not playing right now, but DeRozan's just out there carrying the franchise. And they're not just cheap wins either. I mean, they're getting good wins. Sure, they beat the Kings, the Spurs, and the Thunder over the last couple of games, but they've also got some quality wins against the Timberwolves, and they've held up against the Suns. I mean, I think this run that the Bulls are on is showing that they're not to be trifled with, but I don't know if the star power of DeRozan, especially when he gets Caruso back and Levine back, you know, consistently for those, for the stretch run, I don't see them as a deep threat. They're going to win their first and maybe even second round series, depending on the matchups. But do the Bulls seem like the kind of roster and team that can make a dent in the playoffs or even make it to the finals? I want to start with you, Simmons, because you're fresh off the yelling about the Knicks, so I want to get your thought on the Bulls.
You know, the Bulls, for me, I'm going to take the wait-and-see approach. I think more so than any other team in the Eastern Conference, I think matchup is really going to play a pivotal role and how far the Bulls go. Right now they're obviously the overall favorite to win the one seed, but if they drop, you know, down to a three seed or a two seed or even a four seed, if you will, I think the matchup is going to be the issue. And you're right, they may get past round one, you know, because, I mean, you may be able to play – you know, one of the bottom feeders that are crawling through the play-in tournament or something like that. But when you start getting into round two, when you have to deal with the Milwaukee Bucks, when you have to deal with the Miami Heat, when you have to deal with a Boston Celtics team that isn't taking no prisoners right now, that you want to talk about a team that has flipped the switch and figured it out, Boston right now is playing amazing ball. But you got to deal with those guys. I still think that when everybody gets back in Brooklyn, they're going to be a problem because of the way they are now currently constructed. You don't believe me? Just ask the Knicks fans sitting here how they're constructed. But I digress.
Keep that thought in your mind. I just want to give everybody a piece of breaking news that Woj just tweeted out that Anthony Davis is a midfoot sprain and will be evaluated in 4 weeks. But just want to let everybody know that. Simmons, keep going with your take on the Bulls.
But I honestly think that the Bulls are going to have to figure out, placing. I think they're going to be a decent out, but I think them more than anybody in the Eastern Conference, the way they are placed or where they are seated is going to be big. I can see them going out in the second round. I can see them making it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, I can see them representing the Eastern Conference in the finals. It's anybody's guess, but I think their seating is going to play a factor.
Wow, Bulls definitely seem like the kind of team that could beat anybody, but they could also lose to anybody. But what say you, Barry?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, Sears is just childish. I can't with that guy. He's a clown. listen, the Bulls.
Hey,
yo,
life is hard, hug me.
No.
Life is hard, hug me.
Listen. The Bulls are dangerous. They're a dangerous team because they defend, they play on team basketball. DeRozan's just playing out of his mind. Like I said, he's elevated himself to MVP talk. I still think probably Embiid would be the MVP of the season stuff right now. He's on a tear. That Sixers team has figured it out. They're only going to get better. But I agree with Sirius. The East is no joke. I mean, you think these teams – oh, they might be average, they might be okay, but you look at the standings, and, there's some good teams out there. I mean, to be honest with you, you look at the Bulls, the Heat, the Bucks, Cleveland is playing really good basketball, Philly and Boston, to your point, I was going to bring that up, before last night, with a tough loss, they won 9 straight games, you know what I mean? So they're playing some really good basketball right now. Finally, I think we could say Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have figured out how to play alongside each other and not play in spite of each other. I think that's the key. But Toronto's a tough team. For a play-in game, that's a tough team. And then you got Brooklyn, so it's going to be tough. Brooklyn's got a lot of work to do to get out of the play-in tournament, but they would have to fall flat on their face and fall completely out of it, right? Because they're over 500. But the Bulls are a dangerous team, and I like what they're doing. They're tough at home. They play some solid defense. I think their defense could get a little bit better. I think the Bucks and the Heat and probably Cleveland play a lot better team defense. But correct me if I'm wrong, boys, but I think Lonzo Ball is still hurt, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so, hopefully they can get that piece back. But I think they got the pieces. Zach LaVine, he'll be reevaluated after the break. They got the pieces to make it work, and they're going to be a tough out for anybody.
Yeah, they're not, just to clarify, they're not going to get Ball back until probably mid to late March. That's in looking at the ESPN injury report. So, that means he'll have to likely get it ready the beginning of April as you really start that stretch run. So I think if the Bulls can hold court, they certainly seem like the kind of team that should that should do some damage. I don't know. They really seem like the kind of team that could have that surprise first-round loss if they're just not gelling together after this injury-riddled middle of the season. There's something about – I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about the Bulls that I just don't quite trust yet. In a way, I almost trust a team like the Cavaliers more, I like the youth of the what the Cavs have going on. I like, right now they're not spectacular putting up points or anything like that. I think the thing that I like about the Cavs right now is they're playing just such excellent defense. Like right now, in terms of points per game, I think they're the tops in the league. In terms of points allowed, which that's got to count for something, especially in the playoffs where defense matters more. And I was talking to somebody about this earlier in the week, guys, and I'd love to get your thoughts and tell me if you think I'm wrong here. But I think in basketball, the ability to neutralize an individual player, the only other time I think you could say doing something like that in sports is maybe, having – the one hitter that can take out a starting pitcher, or maybe perhaps, the one wide receiver who just has that corner's number. But in basketball, in such a small space to work with, I feel like the basketball court just shrinks in the playoffs, and there's less room to operate because you have guys just with playing defense with more energy. And in that spot, I really think the Cavaliers are gonna show up, and the Bulls don't have a great defense, but the lack of continuity on the team is really going to hurt them. In a weird way, it's kind of like if they were on the same injury timeline as the Warriors, I'd give them more of a chance, where it feels like the Warriors are on the cusp of not like they're on the cusp of getting good because they've been good. They are now, they are 6.5 games behind Phoenix. Phoenix does seem like they're running away with it, but I don't see – guys, tell me, do you really see Golden State? Would it shock you if Golden State and Phoenix played, and then Golden State, took 4 out of 5 or 6 from Phoenix? I think Golden State's just as scary as anybody.
I think Golden State needed that. They need this break. I think they look tired. Their defense really has slipped in the last couple weeks. They just haven't been able to defend. I think, Draymond was down for a little bit, so they're missing Wiseman, I think, too. So isn't that a good time? I think it's a good time to reset, charge the batteries. Phoenix is that good. They're legit. We knew that last year, and it's like, Chris Paul is, 5-10, but just getting better and better. He's unbelievable. The best, arguably one of the best backcourts in the game, clearly with him and Booker. You know, I think Golden State will get it together. I think they'll slowly catch up. I think Phoenix will probably take that one spot. And I think it's a race to try not to get in those two teams' way for a conference championship, because I think I like Memphis. I think they're good. Ja Morant out of this world. I think his jump shot's coming along, but I don't know if it's good enough for a series against these two, but it'd be fun to watch. Utah's turned it around as well. I like what they're doing. They're really strong defensively. They got Gobert back. Spida is just, that's CP's boy. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I think it's a two-horse race out there. I really do feel like it's between Golden State and Phoenix.
Well, man, it's been quite a first half of the season. I've really been enjoying doing the show with you, hearing Simmons come in. Again, big thank you to Seth for coming in and filling in last week. It's been a blast. Just want to remind everybody, though, that you've been listening to the Crossover Cafe, and the Crossover Cafe has been brought to you by the PHI Apparel Company, and PHI Apparel provides unique designs, high-quality clothing, and, quite frankly, really cool design. Anyway, they give us this read. It says unique design. They're cooler than unique design. Give yourself some more credit, guys. But they do have original designs for everybody, no matter what your sport is, no matter how much you like the Philly sports or sports in general. There is no doubt you'll stand out in the crowd with your PHI Apparel. And if you're a listener and you want to order something, make sure you go to phiapparel.co, phiapparel.co. Use promo code CHEFS for 15% off any apparel when you shop online at phiapparel.co. Barry, I'm going to give you a little platform. Give us your last couple of thoughts, and then we'll wrap it up. Call it a week, and I'll see you next week.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Sports City Chefs, get to the website. We got blogs coming up. Dave wrote a nice blog. The villain wrote his blog about you know, but a little bit of some Matt Stafford and Hall of Fame talk. So getting a lot of views there, people liking what the chefs are cooking. Live shows coming up. We're going to probably do one start next week, and then, you know, we'll be live from Bobby Valentine's in Stanford. So be on the lookout for that. We'll be posting that pretty soon. So Sports City Chefs doing a lot of big things, man. We're moving, we're migrating. Dave, you got to come join us down at Bobby's. So we'll get the information around, and we appreciate everybody. PHI Apparel, use that promo code. Also, shyscreations.com, use that promo code as well. Chefs15 to get 15% off any of the merchandise there. Shy's Creations, obviously, my star, my queen, but, you know, she makes the merchandise for Sports City Chefs. And she got a lot of cool merchandise, accessories, and stuff on her website as well. So we always love the support. We're lining up more sponsors. If you want to be a sponsor, holla. If you want to be a writer, write for the chefs, holla. We're doing big things, man. Thanks a lot, dude.
Listen, it's an honor to be a part of this. Yeah, check out my blog. It's a love letter to the sport of football and how much it means to me, and I try to do my very best to not talk about anything on the field. And I think that's a good, you know, anybody who reads it out there, make sure you go to www.sportscitychefs.com, check out the blog. And it's purely about my love of football and my passion for it. And I think any one of the chefs, not to speak for anybody else, but we all feel really passionate about sports, and I know it comes across with all the work we do. So please check us out at www.sportscitychefs.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sport City Chefs. I have said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant, good afternoon.
Sport City, Sport City Chefs, Chefs, Sport City, Sport City Chefs, Chefs, Sport City, Sport City Chefs, Chefs, Sport City, Sport City Chefs. Kaboom, Sport City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.